Dear brethren, sisters, young people, and especially Sister Melody and Sister Fantasia. This talk is a privilege for me because, as Andrew said, I've known you two and the Ford family. We've known you for about 7 years, and since that time, like our children, I've watched you two grow and grow in the knowledge and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the blessings of Mum and Dad. Why did we choose that reading? Well, we're going to try and follow a journey. The journey from before you were born until this time, and then look forward to the kingdom, which we believe is very shortly to be established. Verse 13 of that psalm we read. And this gives the idea of birth, doesn't it? And even before birth, the formation of a baby in the mother's womb. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So God the Father, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, knew about you girls before you were born. He knew that you would be born, and he even knew about today. He knew in his foreknowledge that you would answer the call of the truth and be baptized. God is all-seeing and all-knowing, and he knew that you would be here today. And children, as the psalmist says, are an heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Indeed, all of us are the fruit of a womb at one time or another, and by his grace, we shall be in his kingdom most shortly, gathered together as an heritage of Yahweh. Yahweh knew that you would be born, he knew that you would be here, and in the meantime, of course, like us all, you have to grow up, and you have to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of Yahweh, and you have to be educated. And Yahweh puts the privilege of educating his godly seed, which is what all children of believing parents are. He puts that responsibility firmly in the hands of the parents. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, it says in Deuteronomy. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. For I know him, that he will command his children after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh, to do judgment and justice. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Exhortations for believing parents to bring their children up in the ways of Yahweh, to know him, to love him, to try to do his will. And the parents, of course, it's so important for us to try to be good examples. And the reason why we came to know the Ford family is, of course, homeschooling. Because up in Harrogate, which is a couple hundred miles away, Mum and Dad had heard that there was a family that were homeschooling, and they initially thought that it was a Rittmeyer family, but then the Rittmeyer family mentioned to us that they'd been contacted by the Fords, and we were homeschooling, and perhaps we'd like to give them a call, and we surely did. And here we are today. By the divine grace and guidance, here we are all gathered round at this happy time that God knew about those years ago. So God in his wisdom brought us together. And homeschooling was that key. And there are so many blessings with homeschooling. I've just written down a few. You can be with your parents all the day, or at least certainly one of your parents. You can learn things from a biblical point of view. And of course, that's a great blessing because there's no insidious humanism which creeps into the education system in so many ways. And it emphasizes the family, the bringing up the children at home, emphasizes that the family is the spiritual center and forms strong loyalties between the parents and the children, which last. And the scriptures can be read and discussed openly, and you can more or less determine how long you want to use in the day for that sort of thing. You're not under pressure about 40 minutes or less and then off to something else. You can spend ages, and as I know you have, and Vivian has, discussing certain things and going over them again and again and bringing out lots of truth from the scriptures. And another blessing, of course, is not to be overlooked, is that separation from the world and from humanism and all those other worldly influences. And the separation means that we can control the environment that you're in, which is important. So I know that your mum and dad have brought you up separate, and you now answer that call to be baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to commit your lives to God's service. And I must admit that I've been impressed by your quiet and meek spirit as holy children brought up in that nurture and admonition. And of course, that meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of Yahweh is of great price. And that's something that, you know, we can all take note of, that these things we need to strive for in our own lives. Even adults and parents need to look for these things of meekness and quietness, as was the Lord Jesus. And you're joining a number of godly women, godly sisters in the scriptures. I've just written down a few. Sarah, Rebecca, Miriam, Rahab, Hannah, Ruth, Abigail, Esther, Mary, just a few wonderful examples in their own day, and yet there are so many more that we're not even told their names, and yet they're so important to God that their names are in that book, like you are, like we are. And those sisters made that decision to serve God, to be obedient to his will, and they lived their lives in faith, often in very difficult circumstances. And we need to draw strength from some of their examples. And we will also, we and you will have difficulties and problems if the Lord remains away. That, you know, living the disciples' life is very, very difficult sometimes. It's all fine and wonderful on occasions such as this, but there are so many other times when we're challenged, our faith is challenged. Sometimes from within, and often from without, the world will try and pull us out of the family, out of the truth, that we need to be together as often as we can to strengthen each other. And teenage brethren and sisters, like their older brethren and sisters, often meet with scorn, don't we? I mean, when we go out doing leaflets, occasionally meet with people who scorn us and ridicule us and are very anti the things that we stand for. They meet us with hostility. Your dad told me about that occasion when you were in Castle Vale on the terror blocks, and you know, you were lucky to get out when that skinhead picked up your leaflet you'd given him and threw it at you. I mean, that's the reaction of the world. They, you know, they hate the things of the truth. It's the flesh versus the spirit. And the spirit will always win eventually. but it takes some trials in between. Once they know what we believe, then they will be, you know, a lot of them antagonistic. But we must never be discouraged. Never be discouraged. Jesus says, love your enemies. And the Apostle Paul says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And the consolation of all this is that you know that the life of a true believer is much better and offers you a greater hope and glory than the things that the world can offer, however attractive and alluring they might be. The things of the Spirit are also the things of God that will overcome the things of the flesh, the temporal things. And of course now we've got all the company, the brethren and sisters, to help you with problems, to give you guidance if you need, especially of course mum and dad, and as and when you can, you'll be expected to help with Harvey and Titania, help with their understanding, to bring them up to that knowledge and that love of the truth. And you're not alone. You've got the brethren and sisters, mum and dad, and they've got the angelic presence, which are actually here in this room now. Some are here, and as Brother Arthur said, and Brother Steve said, angels in heaven rejoicing about two more baptisms. Yeah, and as I say, we often forget. I say this occasionally, but there are angels, you know, around us all the time. And if we have that in mind, then, you know, those are the things we need to remember when we're challenged, when we're, you know, difficulties arise, that the angels are there to help and to guide according to God's will. I've got some suggestions for your daily discipleship. Unqualified as I am, perhaps, to say these things, but I feel that there's some you know, a few thoughts about guidance in what we all ought to seek in our walk to the kingdom. As much as it's possible to have God in your mind always, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul and mind. Honour thy father and mother, the first commandment we promise, the family unit, together. Read the word daily, I'm sure we all do. Fill our lamps with oil, because we're leaky vessels, young and old, need to keep topping up with the oil. Pray every day. This is for all of us as well. Pray every day with the family and on our own, and put the needs of others before our own needs. Look what Jesus did. Put the needs of others before himself. And to try, as with our understanding, to try and model ourselves on the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to have that mind which is in him, which is in the Father, that it might be in us. As much as is possible, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then our witnessing to people in the world, telling them about the truth, what we believe, what's going to happen on the earth. And as I say, it's often a bad reaction we get, but we do need to say these things to people, to tell them what we believe, while there's yet time. Because Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And of course, always to listen to advice and guidance from mum and dad, and from brothers and sisters, and try to, you know, work out where, you know, where we can improve and what we need to do to increase our faith. And if you do those things, then you'll be that sort of fulfillment of that godly seed that you started off as all those years ago, that godly seed. It'll be the seed of Abraham, which God promised that he would multiply, and that seed that would inherit the land. that Abraham was a stranger and a sojourner on the earth in his day, and he looked for the kingdom to come to receive his inheritance. He's fallen asleep. Like so many others of the faithful ones, he's not received his inheritance yet. David, all the faithful ones, still asleep. And they confessed they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. And it was not for their day. They saw this kingdom far off. And they, you know, admitted that they were strangers and sojourners. Moses, David also admitted that the same thing, that they were strangers and sojourners. Even the Lord Jesus said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He didn't have a house, moving around all the time. And I think the Apostle Peter also said sometime later the same thing. You know, strangers, sojourners on this earth. And you are now with us on that journey that started out before you were born. And we're all on that journey, but we're on it together, the kingdom. Which, of course, is a lot closer now than those worthies of old. We believe that we are indeed in the very last days of the kingdoms of men. So, we're all on this journey, and you've joined us on that journey. But as we welcome you to the kingdom, we all here give you our fondest love, our best wishes, and our prayers for your discipleship on that time, which we believe will be short before the Lord Jesus returns. And if we look back at this psalm there that we read, I think this is wonderful, and I hope you agree with me that I've perhaps said this once before, but these verses, especially verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, I think that's got a dual application. It talks about birth, about a child being conceived in the womb and being brought forth. And only Yahweh knows these things. Only Yahweh knows about the child being born when, you know, when these things happen. And yet also I think it speaks about a number, all the members. We're baptized into the name of the Father, of the Son. When we're baptized, we take on that name of Yahweh. We look upon, you know, our brethren and sisters, and we are one of many. To be many in one, manifested in that oneness to the Father in the kingdom. And I think this verse tends to suggest that, you know, we are all fashioned, you know, in the wombs of our parents, and God through his grace, his foreknowledge, has called us out to be of the world, to be separate unto him, and to be many in one, manifested in the kingdom age is a multitude of called out ones, believers. And I think that's a lovely sort of dual application of that word there, and that verse there. So let this be our vision, that together with our two new sisters we can walk through God's grace to the kingdom, continue our journey as strangers and sojourners, believing that the journey is now very short, walk together in unity, in love, and await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious kingdom to be established on this earth, a great time of joy and eternal happiness. Amen.